And ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of Voices from the Grid. I'm Michael Lindenbaum, being joined by one of my several Power Ranger co-hosts, this time around, the Yellow Ranger himself, Mr. Brian Massey.
What's going on, everybody?
And of course, Brian, you get the Sentai side of things, correct? Unlike in Power Rangers, where in the Sentai for Geo Ranger, the Yellow Ranger is a guy.
Yep. It's a boy named Boy. Go figure.
Yeah. So with that said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to let you know that this episode was pre-recorded beforehand, and we actually had to redo the intros and the outros. So if it's a little disjointed, we do apologize. So with that, we hope you enjoyed the episode. And on today's episode, we are going over the episodes The Rockstar and Calamity Kimberly. So with that, we're going to start off with everyone's favorite segment in my mind, and that's the quick run through of The Rockstar. Which, in the beginning of the episode, we see start off with the Rangers are loading up the rad bug. Trini brings brownies made with snails. Come on, really? Escargot? Do we really want that in our brownies? Come on. But Squat, however, is happy to see the Rangers go on vacation. However, Jason is at the beach with his cousin, Bolt trying to teach Jason a lesson only to beat himself. And not in that type of sense either, Brian, so please keep it clean, young man. Then Jason teaches his cousin some karate. But then putties attack Jason and his cousin. They both fight them off, then go fishing. And gotta give it to the cousin. For a kid, he does pretty good against the putties. Not bad, young guy. And then they get the bottle with the map for the mirror. Scorpina, oh, be still my heart, Scorpina. And Rockstar get Jason pinned down. Zordon sends the others to help Jason. The Rangers morph into action and fight Scorpina and Rockstar at a nice resort. Because why not? Let's wreck a nice resort that's randomly at this beach that is never shown. Yeah, and how did that happen? Like I just said, it wasn't there. It wasn't there. Jeremy is still running from the putties, and now we see Kim and Jason fighting on the beach. However, Jeremy finds the mirror and uses it against the putty, which it just goes poof. Then against Rockstar. And then he proceeds to throw it into the beach area. So this little kid just took out the monster. All right. However, Scorpina gets the mirror and Rita makes her grow. The Rangers form the Megazord. Then they throw Goldar in front of Scorpina and they use the Megazord to destroy the Mirror of Destruction. Jeremy details the story to Jason and the others to end the episode. So with that, was everyone's favorite segment in my mind. Now it's time for Brian's notes.
All right, everybody. So once again, this was episode 30, The Rockstar. Couple of notes here. First and foremost, this is the first episode since Switching Places in which Jason David Frank does not appear. His absence isn't even really mentioned. Also, this is the first episode in which actress Brienne Seidel has a role. She dubs over Jeremy in this episode, almost poorly even. If you watch this, like, there are a lot of points in this episode, I think you might have noticed as well, Mike, that where the voice just does not match the lips, and this is American footage, too. That's kind of funny to me.
Yeah, it's like, and this has been something that's been going on all season too when it comes to children.
Yeah.
Is that a lot of them get dubbed.
Yeah, I don't know why. I guess like actual children's voices is like a no-no in Mighty Morphin, but okay. If Brienne Seidel's name sounds familiar to you, by the way, she went on to voice many roles in Power Rangers. Most notably, she voiced Circuit in Power Rangers Time Force later on. So she's been around for a while. Now, the footage that the Ranger sections were pulled from in Zeo Ranger was episode 36, Smash It, The Mirror of Death. It was called The Mirror of Death in that adaptation.
Listen, it's a kid's show. We can't call it death. We can call it destruction, but not death.
let's see here. The and the description for that, and we're not gonna get too much into Zio Ranger, but the description for that particular episode was the Zio Rangers and Lammy head to Namigaro when a boy finds a treasure map that leads to a powerful mirror that destroys anyone or anything reflected in it, which is basically the same plot as this episode. Not too much different. The Zio Ranger episode first aired October 30th, 1992, and this episode aired November 4th, 1993. So about a year in between both those episodes airing in between the two. Fun fact, this is the last time that we actually see the rad bug, by the way.
No.
We do see it in the next episode, but this is the last episode in which they actually use it.
It's still seen in the show.
Yeah, it's the last time that it's driven, though.
Eh.
And as a matter of fact, in the next episode, Billy's actually seen working on it, which some people have speculated that it means that he's dismantling it to use for parts.
Hold on. Is that accurate? We'll get to that when we get to that, because I don't think it's actually the next episode. I think it's a much later episode.
Okay. Well, if I'm wrong, then I'll eat hat on that one, but that's what I did look up. Now you mentioned earlier that Trini brings over what looks like a platter of brownies.
No, they are brownies. She does say that they are brownies.
But she said, but they're called torte a la escargot. Now, here's the funny thing. It does seem to be a real dish. I did look this up. Now, here's the funny part, and it's kind of stereotypical, but I found a recipe, but the recipe and the website are only in French.
It's called Google Translate for a reason, Brian.
I know.
It is 2020. I know the year has not been a kind one to everybody, but at least we still have Google.
Look, I'm just saying this. I've used Google Translate for a couple of things, and I have to piecemeal together what they do translate, because a lot of things are lost in translation, and French and Japanese are very hard to translate in that machine, I'm telling you right
okay,
now.
Okay, just for the record, go on to Google and Google English to French to English translator and choose the one that doesn't belong to Google.
All I know is this, the recipe, I was done when the recipe called for shallots and garlic. I was like, but there's still brownie mix in there too. I'm good. Let's see here. One thing that I'm a video game fan, and Billy in 1993 has a nondescript arcade machine in his backyard. And I've always wondered about that, but even now I'm like, how do you have an arcade machine in your backyard? Those things cost at least $20,000. I'm hoping that maybe he just found it discarded on the side of the road, but it's the 90s. Arcades were like still thriving at this point. So I don't know where he got that from, but moving on. There's an American shot of Squat watching the Rangers drive away on vacation. Because, like, Squat, I don't know. I'm starting to pick up on this. Squat is just a peeping Tom at this point. Or he's just, like,
he's just a creeper.
He's just the guy that's, like, sitting there watching. Because he was, like, he was watching Kimberly in the next episode, which I'll get to. But then, like, he's just always there, kind of like, oh, look, they're doing a thing and they're not morphed. I'm going to go report this to Rita. And I'm like, first things first. If you're going to be on Earth peeping, why don't you just have like a phone that you can like reach back at her at instead of having to go all the way back up to the moon? And then also, like, they're driving away in a modified VW Bug on vacation. Why are you standing on the side of a highway watching them going like, all right, showtime? Like, I don't get this. Like, he's always there. I don't get it. Like, I don't get it. He's always there, though.
Because he wants to be a creeper, bro. Yeah.
I almost want to make a shirt that says Squat is always watching you. Like,
and it's just like Squat's eyes.
He's just like, ooh, I'm going to report this back to Rita.
And that's what it says on the back of the shirt.
Yeah.
Got to report this to Rita.
So so the title in Zio Ranger, by the way, is called The Mirror of Destruction, the episode, but then it's also called The Mirror of Annihilation. I don't know what, by the way, but either way, Rita says in this episode that the mirror can even destroy super putties, which I missed out on those episodes, but apparently that thing can blow up, you know, even her strongest putties.
Because keep in mind, I even said in the quick run through, he does destroy a putty, and he also kills the monster.
Yeah, Which is funny because the footage of him destroying the putty is then reused super putty footage. That was absolutely a super putty.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think I put it in here too, but I'll go ahead and mention it since we're talking about it. Apparently, Jeremy is the only person in all of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers who's not a ranger who has destroyed a monster.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a pretty high accolade.
Good job, Jeremy. We're never going to see you ever again.
Yeah. I might have seen him in like a Gushers or a Fruit Roll-Ups commercial like later on, you know, as time went on, but that's...
He was like, congratulations, you killed this monster. Have a Gushers commercial.
Yeah. Your head's going to turn into a giant cherry.
that's right. That's what they did do in those old commercials, didn't they?
Yeah. They always like transformed into like different things.
Do they still do that with the commercials, or do they even still make commercials for Gushers?
I don't think
Gushers even still a thing?
Gushers are still a thing. So are Fruit Roll-Ups, but I don't think they make commercials for fruit snacks anymore. Because believe me, like, I would absolutely have just been like, oh my God, guys, I just saw a commercial for Gushers. Like, but I haven't seen one in forever. But I know that the gimmick has always been like they eat one and their head turns into like
one of the fruit of flavors,
a Fruit of the Looms character, basically.
Yeah, like one will turn into like a watermelon, one will turn into like a cherry.
One turns into not just a grape, but like a vine full of grapes.
Well, it makes it more recognizable of what you are. Yeah. You just do one grape, you're gonna have a very tiny head, or people are gonna think you're a plum.
Yeah. Or a date.
Nobody eats dates.
While we're on the subject of food, by the way, there's another weird food item that is mentioned in this episode, the Sloppy Joe pizza, being eaten by Bulk and Skull on the beach, where Bulk says you can make a large funnel and then jam more pizza down your throat. And he basically takes the pizza and like New York slices it with a fold and then like just starts shoving it down his throat. And I hope and pray to God that they weren't actually putting Sloppy Joe meat on a pizza, because that sounds disgusting.
It's Vulcan Skull. It's okay. It's whatever.
It's just.
Think about it like this: there are people who put pineapple on pizza, and that's a crime against pizza, right there.
It's not my favorite, but I will say it has its place.
But not on pizza.
You know, I mean, I would imagine if you're drinking like a really nice, well, whatever. I'm not even gonna get into that. That's another show I do. So
real quick, while we're talking about pineapple, I am actually the biggest hater of pineapple. However, Mountain Dew Maui Blast is actually really good.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, it's the one thing pineapple that I will drink.
Mm-hmm. I really like Fanta pineapple also. Fanta pineapple is good.
Okay, get back to the Power Rangers stuff.
Okay, so Jason also happens to be walking by along with Jeremy, and Bulk, you know, I guess just sees him and wants to insinuate a fight. So Jason humors him in a fight, dodges all of Bulk's moves, and then Bulk like lands face first into pizza. And what's funny in this scene is like Jeremy, while, you know, Jason's kind of like, you know, squaring up with Bulk, goes, hey, watch out. And like Jason notices that he's about to step in the pizza. He goes, oh, all right. And like sidesteps the pizza. And I was like, yeah, he probably wouldn't want to like, you know, offend any Ninja Turtles watching. But
hey, we'll get there eventually.
Yeah, we'll get there. I do have a question though. Was there ever a pizza monster on Power Rangers? I'm sure if there was Japanese footage, there'd be stuff like shrimp, octopus, and mollusks on there.
I think we get that in Turbo. Because if I remember right, Selwyn Ward's character, the one who replaced Jason, I can't remember his character name at the moment in time, but he was like baked into a pizza.
He was baked into a pizza.
Yeah, he was baked into a pizza, and I think that might have been the Pizza Monster episode.
Wait, are you talking about, okay, the guy who replaced the Red Ranger on Turbo? Are you talking about TJ?
Yeah, TJ, that's what it was.
Gotcha, okay.
Yeah.
TJ was baked into a pizza. That's unfortunate. But like I said, like, if you've seen any of the, like, Japanese Pizza Hut pizzas, like, I'm sure that, like, they would have to look something like that if they're using Japanese footage of a pizza monster. So I imagine like they would have to like Americanize it up by putting, you know, ham and pineapple on it or lots of pepperoni. So Jason, by the way, I did put a note here. The dubbing of Jeremy, like I said before, is bad. Like, I don't know who was in charge of the ADR here, but like right around this time, like it becomes really noticeable that like something got messed up. Jason and Jeremy fish for a bottle out of the ocean that has a map inside of it, akin to the plot in the Zio footage, although the kids finds it himself in that. The bottle, let's see here. The bottle lets loose a lot of energy, and Jeremy seemingly passes out for, you know, plot convenience. There's then a cutaway scene where the rad bug is caught in the earthquake, and the other Rangers freak out a bit, which I get, but like this is the third earthquake that they've been in. You know, I can't imagine they're living in California. They've got to be used to earthquakes by this point. I mean, I think we even when we were out in California for Power Warficon, we had to deal with an earthquake. Is that right?
No.
No?
No, we didn't have an earthquake when we were out in LA.
Like we were in Pasadena, so I imagine.
Yeah,
like,
but we walked around LA for like a day.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we didn't have any earthquakes when we were.
We were in California for a week, and we did not face one single earthquake, like not even a tremor. That's crazy.
Not a full week. We were there for like, what was it? We flew in on a Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
We explored Pasadena because we got there at like we got to our hotel at like noon their time.
Yeah.
It
was already bedtime for us almost.
Yeah, it was time bedtime there. For us. That was crazy. You passed out pretty early, though. But this is another episode that we could do where we talk about our Power Morphicon experience.
Well, it does relate to...
But the thing is, though, is that we did have an earthquake, though, the entire time. Like, from the Wednesday we arrived to the Monday we left, we didn't face an earthquake.
There was not a single earthquake there, which is kind of nuts considering how many times my friends are like, yeah, I just faced another earthquake. So I'm like, I don't know why the Rangers of all people are freaking out about an earthquake in California.
Because they're not natural. They're all done by Rita.
Yeah.
Rita screwed up California in the San Andreas fault line.
Yeah. I did make a note here. It's like, it's kind of like how in Maryland, like we'll have a 90 degree day. And then all of a sudden at night you're wearing a hoodie. It just happens. That's just how it is here.
I had to close my window cause it was like 70 degrees outside today. But now it's like freezing cold outside because it's so windy. We're about to get a storm.
Welcome to Maryland.
There's a joke about our flag. And the joke about our flag is it's like, you know how like they have the typical bar graphs and it's like four different colors for like four different things?
Mm-hmm.
You look at a bar graph for another state and it's a normal bar graph where you have like the four colors for the four seasons. Then you look at the Maryland flag and that's our bar graph right there.
Pretty much.
Because the weather's just all over the place.
It's all over the place. Let me see here. Okay, next page of notes. Okay, so the Rangers morph and are suddenly not at the beach, but at the beach resort, which they use, again, Zio footage for this. And this is about the 10 minutes and 30 seconds mark, and you can see someone in the background taking a back bump. That happens to be the blue Tricera Ranger, Dan. They didn't edit Dan out of this footage. And he actually shows up a little bit. Meanwhile, though, Billy morphed and was even in the morphing sequence, but he isn't with the Ranger team at all. But then we also get the Tricera Ranger unmorphed in that footage, too, where like the other four Rangers are. So that was kind of a weird little moment that happened.
Whoops.
So the putties are chasing Jeremy in the woods, trying to get the map. He hides under the path and throws a, okay. So he's on the path. He kind of ducks underneath the path and then he throws a rock at the putties to try and get them off his trail. And the only thing I could think was that scene in Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, when Frodo, Sam, Merry and Pippin were hiding from the Death Riders. I don't know about you, but like that's exactly what I thought.
I haven't seen Lord of the Rings.
You haven't? Okay, this podcast is over then. how have you not seen Lord of the Rings, man? Okay, whatever. That's not a big deal.
I'll be honest. I've seen the Hobbit ones.
Yeah.
Not fully my thing, but y'all do you, and that's cool by me.
That's,
you know,
that's
it's
fine.
Like I haven't watched the Harry Potter movies. I mean,
That's fine. I mean, some people like high fantasy, some don't. I kind of like it, but you know,
like don't get me wrong, I like fantasy. We're talking about freaking Power Rangers for crying out loud. Yeah. But like
by high fantasy, I mean like, you know, swords and Dungeons and Dragons and you know.
But no, but I am into that stuff though.
And yeah. Like, so.
You know, I mean, like look at like shows that I've watched, like Da Vinci's Demons, where there's a lot of sci-fi in Da Vinci.
Yeah, I've heard some really good things about that. By the way,
great show. But yeah, anyways, go on, good sir.
Sure thing.
Because we have another episode we still have to talk about.
We sure do. There is a really cool music sting that I've never heard released on an album where the Five Rangers were fighting Scorpina, like not in the Megazord. I don't know where this music comes from. I know it was written for the show, obviously, and I know that they put out an album of music, but I've never heard this particular sting, but it was really cool. And then to wrap up this episode, listening to Jeremy talk about what happened when he saw the Power Rangers fighting has got to be how my mom felt every time I told her about an episode after I was done watching it as a kid. I was just like, and then the Power Rangers did this, and then they did that, and my mom was probably just like, uh-huh, yeah, cool, all right. That's great, sweetie.
Shut up, Ryan.
So, but those are kind of my notes for that episode. There was a lot going on in that episode.
Yeah, so, like kids killing monsters.
Yeah.
Next up, we have. Oh wait, no. Before we do that, for the rock star, it clocked in at 19 minutes and 39 seconds. For a IMDb score of 6.8.
Oh, you're saying that this didn't get the greatest rating ever?
No. that's Green Ranger episodes.
Yeah.
And then next up, we have the episode of Calamity Kimberly, which means, yeah, again, once again, it is time for everyone's favorite segment, In My Mind, as I do the quick run through of Calamity Kimberly. Which we start off with Kim upset that she needs to wake up and falls out of bed, turning off the alarm clock. She's also upset over her bedhead, which, mm-hmm. I mean, not a big deal to me. I have bedhead 24/7, so Brian's long hair is a lot sexier than mine. And then she finds one of her dresses has been completely ruined in her closet. And then, of course, a mirror falls down because of an earthquake. And as a result, she feels like she's giving 7 years of bad luck. And of course, Squat witnessing everything like the creeper that he is. Back at the palace, Rita wants to take advantage of Kim's misfortunes. So Finster creates a samurai monster. Back at Angel Grove High, Kim is soaking wet thanks to the storm outside. Tommy sees Kim and she is embarrassed. And then enter Bulk and Skull. Skull gets rejected by Kim and Bulk embarrassed by Tommy. Tommy offers to walk Kim home after school. After school, Kim is telling Tommy about her dream. Then they encounter the samurai monster. Tommy passes out and Kim is captured. Back at the juice bar, the others get contacted by Zordon. And at the command center, Tommy is transported onto a bed type thing, which looks like the most uncomfortable thing to try to lie on. Others are shown Kim's status. They morph into action. And then the Rangers meet Goldar and the samurai monster. To which then Trini tries to go for Kimberly, but gets punched backwards. Samurai fans them off and transported back to Zordon. Zordon shows the Rangers the putty bar, which is a really fancy joint. And the Rangers crash the party like the jerks they are, and then Rita makes them both grow. The Rangers call for the Zords. Awesome battle between Goldar and the T-Rex Zord. Meanwhile, Tommy wakes up and morphs into action. Insert the Dragon Zord and Dragon Zord fighting mode. Kim is rescued and morphs into action. Rangers change to the Megazord. They get fanned off again and call upon the power of the Ultra Zord. Back at Billy's garage, they see them mentioned on the news. And this, I think this might have been when he was working on the rad bug at the very end of the episode, because that's when they like get called over to the thing. So, okay, you're kind of right, jerk. but that's how they'd end the episode. And this is also becoming one of the newer tropes, which is the Rangers are being mentioned on the news all the time now. So that is Calamity Kimberly, aka Kim's Really Bad Day.
All right. So fun fact about this episode. So this was episode 31 of Power Rangers. It was actually it actually uses footage from Zio Ranger episode 37, which is called A Dinosaur Is Born. The Power Rangers episode aired November 5th, 1993, and the Zio Ranger episode aired November 6th, 1992. So we've got like about a one, give it about a year and or less than when these episodes both aired.
Most episodes were about a year within each other because
yeah,
Zio Ranger was 92, Mighty Morphin was 93. Mm-hmm. When you do the stuff with the Dire Ranger monsters and stuff, that's 93. Mm-hmm. Season 2 was 94. You do the Alien Ranger stuff with all the Alien Rangers. I can't remember the name off the top of my head.
Cocky Ranger.
Yes, Cocky Ranger. That was 94.
Yep.
Season 3 is 90. So it was always about a year later.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Which is the way it worked until they kind of started ignoring certain seasons, but we'll get into that another time.
Yep.
I'm
sorry, but you can't have your raging erection train Zord.
Tokuger is such a great season, though. I'm sorry.
I'm not debating that part, but you just can't have for a kid's show.
I get that. That's fine. And believe me, there's so many reasons why it would be a difficult season to adapt, but I feel like that's a roundtable discussion for another episode. This is one of the few times that a monster faces all the Dinozords, sans the Pterodactyl Zord, Megazord, Dragonzord, Dragonzord Battle Mode, and Ultrazord, all in one fight, and the only other instance that this happens is in Doomsday. In real life, Amy Jo Johnson and Tui Trang experienced an earthquake on the day they started filming this particular episode, by the way. So when Kimberly's woken up by, yet again, another earthquake, she had already had to deal with that in real life the same day.
Being a Toronto girl, where she probably doesn't feel earthquakes at all, if yeah. ever, that's an eye opener for you right there.
I've never been through, and I've been told, like, because I live in Frederick, and I've been told that we've had earthquakes before. I've never felt them.
So like, I remember when I was still working at Ortho Store, it might have been before we left for California, or it might have been after I came back. Mm-hmm. No, it was definitely before we went to Power Morphicon. We had an earthquake, and, like, you could feel it.
Yeah.
Like, I just remember, like, my boss and I, we just ran outside, and we were just like, what the heck? And, like, you're watching these filing cabinets just opening.
I feel like that might have been the one, that might have been the same one that they were like, because there were people in Baker Park that were saying, like, oh, man, I totally felt that. And I was like, no. There were people in downtown, but I was actually in Baker Park, and like I didn't feel anything because I was outside.
No, even outside, when we got in outside, we could still feel the ground shaking. It was crazy.
By the time it reached us, the tremors had probably already kind of subsided a little bit, or they were weakened by the time that they reached us. But like,
yeah, we actually apparently had one where that same day, early in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
The epicenter of an early morning earthquake, because the other one was like in the afternoon. It was literally right across the street at the middle school across the street from my house, and I slept through it because it was like my house was essentially at the epicenter of an earthquake.
Wow, that's nuts.
Well, the thing is that you normally don't feel it at the epicenter. You feel it on the ripple effect on the outside. So
well, that is true. I mean, my mom lived in Japan when she was a little girl, and she has some earthquake stories, but she was in the epicenter of a couple of them too. So I'm sure that she would have the same kind of notes on that. So
anyways, back to your notes.
Yes. So I mentioned, I loved how all this bad stuff happens to Kim and Squad is right outside the window laughing at it. And
like a perv.
Yeah. And I thought about it because I was thinking about it. I was like, you know, they're always like creeping on the Rangers when they're like, you know, asleep or unmorphed or something like that. And I'm like, Kim is asleep. You're right outside of her door. Have Rita and them just not thought to, you know, coup de grace them in their sleep, like go kill them? Or is that like too, you know, They're villains, but they're not villains. You know what I mean? Like, is there a line for them to cross or something?
I don't know, but that was the greatest way of putting it. Just give like, them the coup de grace.
Coup de grace. Like, you know, they're in their sleep, just, you know, with a bayonet. Like, no more Rangers. All right, cool. We'll take over the world now. Like, it's the easiest thing to do, but, like, I guess they can't cross a door threshold. Are they vampires or something? Like, what's going on here? Like,
They need to have permission to enter the house.
Knock, knock. Hi, is Kimberly there? Like, yeah.
Can I please enter?
Sure, come on in. Oh, thank you. No, what did you do? So Finster creates Samurai Fan Man, but the footage that's used when he creates Samurai Fan Man is actually from High Five, and you can tell that the monster that is on display is Bones, actually, the skeleton with the hat and sword, also known as Doris Skelton. He's also, if you're not familiar, he's the first enemy that you fight in the Super Nintendo Mighty Morphin Power Rangers game. Just to throw away, look at all the starter jackets that the kids are wearing in the American footage when they come in from the rain, by the way. I used to have one of those, and they were simultaneously one of the most comfortable and infuriating things ever, because, like, while they were comfortable, they would always make that sound.
I didn't care about the sound. I just really liked my Washington Capitals starter jacket. Yeah. I missed those, honestly.
Yeah, I miss mine, too, but, like, I, like so many people, got a Charlotte Hornets one. And I'm like, why? I don't – my grandma's from North Carolina, but I don't care about the Hornets. Why?
Or basketball, you know? Yeah. But, yeah.
Give me a Broncos one, man.
I had a Washington Capitals one.
Yeah. And you mentioned this last episode, too, but I did write, at this point, it does seem like even though Bulk and Skull start all the drama at this point, the Rangers are the ones who are, like, antagonizing them at this point and, like, pointing their fingers and laughing at them. Because, you know, Tommy basically kind of makes it so the Bulk, like,
because at the end of the day, the Rangers are the real bullies.
And I'm having trouble arguing that point with you because, yeah, they're Bulk winds up headfirst into a
trash can.
No, it's a mop bucket.
Oh, yeah, No, the mop bucket got knocked over.
Yeah.
And he slips and falls on the water.
Yeah, and I'm like, that's got to be a really uncomfortable slip and slide. But... oh man, that sucked.
You know, the one that I really feel for, it's not Bulk, it's Skull.
Yeah.
Because Skull he's bullied by the Rangers by virtue of being bullied by Bulk.
Yeah. Bulk is the one antagonizing stuff, but Skull's the one that's so desperate to be cool that he's hanging out with the cool guy at school. And he's, like, obviously parroting him.
But
and
the funny thing is, though, is that Bulk's not the cool guy in school.
Nope. It's very much like Pedro hanging out with Napoleon in Napoleon Dynamite.
God, I really did not like that movie. That was such the same dynamic, though.
It's the same dynamic, to a degree. This episode is the first time, like you mentioned, that we're starting to see Tommy and Kim really start to hit it off. I mean, obviously they flirted a little bit, but this is when things kind of start to get a little more, you know, steamy. And it is kind of a shame that we find out in Dino Thunder that that doesn't happen. But I don't know about you, but
it was in Zio.
Because by that point Kat was already there, because Kim left in season 3.
Yeah, but she sent the letter.
Right, that's right. You mentioned it. Just, I guess I must have forgotten about that, but it's really cemented too because Tommy, you know, you find out that he's married in Dino Thunder, and you're like, oh, is it Kim? Did they patch things up? Nope, they didn't. Fun fact, by the way, Samurai Fan Man is actually based on a pretty old legend. I've only got a few more notes here, but while Samurai Fan Man is based upon a samurai in Power Rangers, his counterpart, which is named Dora Kinkaku, is based upon the character Jin Zhao, aka the Golden Horde King from Journey to the West, which explains the comically sized fan that he wields. Also, if you're a Dragon Ball Z fan, his lance looks familiar to the power pole used by Goku, which is because it's the same thing, basically. It's the same pole that he uses in Dragon Ball and Dragon Ball Z. So this character is based on a very old and very famous story from China. And then let's see here, weird editing, but.
Well, there's always going to be weird editing like this. Yeah. And I'll say this too, Ed, I love you, but you got to remember, this is like 1993. Yeah. They're probably editing this stuff in like 92, like early, late 92, early 93. Technology wasn't where it is today. So like, yeah. Every time I hear go, well, the editing of this, oh, they should have changed the stickers on the morpher from the Sentai to the Power Ranger. Like,
yeah.
Get over it.
I know.
Here's the thing. Those little minuscule things really don't damper the episode. It's when they really screw things up in editing, like we were talking about with that resort.
Yeah.
You know, they showed the Tricera Ranger taking a back bump. That type of stuff still being left in, that's the problem. Editing. Not, oh, well, the Sentai stickers on the morpher.
No. And I don't even care about that. I actually love it when I see like Sentai stuff on like I can still notice, oh, they've got like that stuff I don't mind. But for instance, Jason, Zach, Billy, and Trini get fanned away by Samurai Fan Man, and then we cut to the viewing globe and we see the Zio Rangers falling to Earth, and then they come back to the command center and they're morphed again, but you actually see unmorphed Zio Rangers in the viewing globe, and you're like, why don't they just have footage of the Power Rangers doing that? They could have gotten another shot of that. So I don't understand that shot. But like you said, that's fine.
And that's just the challenge of it, you know, of creating a show based off of another show's footage.
Yeah.
And it's always going to be like that, whether people like it or not.
And it kind of proves, it's like, you know, a lot of people are like, well, obviously a show like this must be really easy to do because, you know, you've already got half the footage made. I'm like, it really isn't.
It's really not. It's like, because you got to film all the stuff to kind of filter in between all this stuff. And then you got to ADR the American actors on the Sentai footage.
Yep.
You know, so there's a lot of work that's got to be done. And it's like,
a lot.
So they didn't have the same tools like they do today.
Nope. And I mean, I would argue that later seasons of Power Rangers actually benefit from, like, yeah, they've got better footage and stuff like that too, but then they can also recreate the suits to make them look almost exactly like the Japanese ones too now. So it's like,
well, it's not just that. It's also, they're trying to stay closer to certain storylines too. That was done in the Sentai compared to, you know, what's being done in Power Rangers.
Yeah.
So it's like, they try to stay somewhat closer to storylines.
Yeah.
Not all of them are going to be as accurate, maybe they could have complete 180s looking at Lost Galaxy as a whole.
I mean, they add on like battleizers and stuff too, and like, you know, like they add on different like gears or
yeah, but that's all. But that's all stuff from the Sentai. The only time they've added a different ranger, like, okay, you have all season 2 for Mighty Morphin, and technically all season 3 for Mighty Morphin, because those suits were only used for one season. They did use the Kaku Ranger outfits for the Alien Rangers.
Yes.
But they didn't use the Die Ranger outfits.
No.
Except for the White Ranger, which is from Die Ranger. And I know we're jumping ahead on stuff, but that's the thing, though. It's like, you know, the Titanium Ranger, and I believe Lightspeed Rescue, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
That was an American-made Ranger.
That's an American, yeah. That's kind of where I was going with that.
But the thing is, though, is that that's the only real American-made Ranger.
Yeah.
You know.
And as a matter of fact, I think his or I can't remember if it's his morpher or it was somebody else, but they actually used the aura changer from Die Ranger as their morpher because they didn't have anything else that they could use.
Yeah, I think that was also Magna Defender in Lost Galaxy.
I think that was Magna Defender, actually, now that you mentioned
it. I think they used it for a couple different ones, honestly, because they rehashed a couple, like a morpher for certain things and stuff like that. Yeah.
I do have one last little note on this episode, and that was that the Zord fight in this episode is, like, the highlight of the episode, as typically it always usually is, but, like, I literally, like, was sitting there watching all the stuff happening, and I almost forgot to take notes, because I was like, oh, that's right, I should be taking notes here. Sorry, I just, I forgot I was 32 and not 6 again. Sorry.
Restart the entire episode, which you couldn't do when you're 6 years old.
Nope. I had to wait for Fox to re-air it. So, I mean, and then there's that funny bit at the very end where, like, Kim thinks her bad luck is gone, and then she tries to turn up the volume on the TV and it blows up, which I'm like, okay, time to end the episode. That was perfect. So, yeah, that was a fun one.
And so with Calamity Kimberly, that clocked in at 20 minutes and 16 seconds for an IMDb score of a 7.0. Mm-hmm. And so with that, Brian, where can the people find you on the social medias?
Y'all can find me on Twitter at OneDrunkGeek, where I post updates on the show that I do, which is also called OneDrunkGeek, where I've worked on the 100 craft beers that you need to try before you die. I'm also on CastWaveStudios.com. You can see me on BGN Weekly. We've done many episodes over the past 10 years, so please give that a look. And yeah, you can also find me on Instagram at Draken22. I post photos and stuff and, you know, cosplay stuff. So,
all right, and you can follow me on the Twitters at the Lindenbaum 75, Facebook at facebook.com/x75productions, and of course everything for me is on the website at txhthockey.com, and for the show specifically, which is VFTG, which is the call letters for Voices from the Grid. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls,
so until next time, grab your morphers.
And may the power protect you.